So we're in the series called How to Unburden Your Life, number 3 in the series today. We're going to read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, and I'm only going to read up to 9, Ted. I gave you 10, but I'm going to go to 9. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. That is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as He is pure. And everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in Him. Anyone who continues to live in Him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know Him or understand who He is. Dear children, do not let anyone deceive you about this. When two people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. And those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. And you're all sitting there and you're thinking, holy moly, today's going to be fire and brimstone. He's going to get the sin out of us. So let's get rid of that coat so I can have my arms. No, no, you know me by now. That's not it. There's a lot of sin words in there, but that's not where we're going. We're going to talk about way more fun things like that. Will you agree with me if I said that all of us are led somewhere by someone or something? I'll give you an example. Every time you take out your cell phone or you go to your computer to go through your news feed or through your social media posts, it's not just a bunch of random things that appear there. They are strategically moving you into a certain direction because of your scrolling history, because of the links that you clicked on, because of the stuff that you buy online, your age, your gender, and the list goes on. And that's all fine and dandy. But here's the thing. All they care about is for you to click on their link. They don't care about the truth or what is good or what is helpful. The scary thing about this is that all of this is meant, and it's called influencing, and some people make a living out of painting their nails and they're an influencer. Or their toenails and they're an influencer. They influence you to believe things about yourself, feel about yourself, think about yourself. And I'm not saying all of this is bad, but what I'm saying is you're being led somewhere, influenced to think about yourself, to think this is who I am and this is who I should be. Now here's the cool fact for the day. This is nothing new. They had that in John's day, the influencers. They didn't have cell phones and computers, but they had people. People who would try and say to other people, this thing about God and how they live and how you should... Not good. Do just whatever you want. That's the cool way to live. Influencers. That's why our good friend John writes in verse 7, my dear friends, do not let anyone deceive you Or the NIV says, do not let anyone lead you astray. And here's your Greek word for the day. When I'm done with this place, you're all going to speak fluent Greek. Here's your Greek word for the day. The Greek word for deceive or lead astray is, and you know this word, planao. Have you heard the word planet? That's where our English word planet comes from. Planao, that which goes around all over. Do not let someone or something lead you all over the place and get you wandering with an A. Be really careful with how you live your life. So two things about not being deceived, led astray, wandering. Number one, one of the first things in how we can learn to unburden our lives is to allow ourselves to see us for who we are in the way that God sees us. And you would have seen all the songs are kind of going the same way. Because there is this big influencer. His name is called Satan, or the devil, or the snake, or the dragon, and we don't like to say those words because we live in 2024. Guess what? The Bible talks about those words, calls him by those names, because that's who he is. He's the big deceiver from day one. Adam, Eve, don't worry about God. You'll be perfectly fine. Have a bite. But he is also the one who gets into our lives and who tells us, do you really think that you can be a child of God? Do you really think that God can look at you and the mess you've made and God can love you? That's why good John starts out in verse 1, and just listen to these words again and think about yourself. See how very much the Father loves us. For he calls us what? Children. And that is what we are. You are, and 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 you are. That's who you are. That's your identity. You are a child of God. And then Satan will come and say, but what about when you did that? So what, Satan? I am a child of God. And when you fell on your face in the mud? So what, Satan? I am a child of God. But when I fall and I don't do the right things and I sin? So what, Satan? I am a child of God, because here's the thing. God doesn't love me because of what I do or don't do. God loves me because of what Jesus did on that cross. And Calvary. And you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good this morning when you take this bread and this wine, and he's going to remind you, on that cross I died for you. And when you eat this, look at yourself and hear what I'm saying to you. I love you. I love you as broken and as messed up as you sometimes are. I love you because you're my child. Señor, when those beautiful kids mess up, and they do, do you love them less? You love them more, because you go and say, come sit here so I can teach you, so I can show you, so that you can grow and become more. What do you think your father does? If we love our kids unconditionally, what do you think God does, who was prepared to give his only son? Don't let the world tell you anything else about yourself. You are loved and you are a child. That's why when he writes, he says, how much has God lavished, says the NIV, his love on us, that he calls us his children. God doesn't look at you and say, you're my servant, Kevin. God says, you're my child. Because the servant, when he messes up, there are real bad consequences, and he might even get fired. You're not part of my staff that work for me. If you mess up, I can give you a pink slip and say, see ya. He calls you his child. And every conversation God has with you, also those hard conversations, when I've messed up, starts with these words. Do you know how much I love you? You want an example of that? There was this guy, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He struggled. He had a disease called foot and mouth disease. His name was Peter. Man, he was good at that, putting his foot in his mouth every time. And then there was this evening when Jesus stood there and they were going to take him to nail him to a cross. And folks came around and said to him, "You're one of his." He said, "I don't know who you're talking about." Three times. Even cussed, says the Bible. Three times saying, I deny that I know him at all. And what does God do with one of his children that denies him? John 21, my favorite passage in the whole world. Alexander knows that. That's the one for my funeral. John 21. John 21 is my favorite. So they catch fish. Jesus is out there. And then this Peter guy sees him. And he's out there. And when he gets there, they sit down. How does the conversation with Peter start? "Hey, I couldn't wait to see you, buddy. I'm going to say a few words to you, and then I'm going to kick you out of my kingdom because I want nothing to do with you. You're a so-and-so," right? No. It starts with, "Hello, Peter. I love you. Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." "So, okay, Peter, that's fine. Are you sure? Do you love me?" "I love you." "I love you too, Peter. Do you really love me?" And then Peter says those beautiful words, "Lord, you know everything. Boy, I've messed up. I really messed up. I put my foot in my mouth all the time. And I walk away and I deny and I do all these things. But boy, I really do love you. That's who you are. You're a child of God. And don't let that influencer try and tell you anything else." I always used to tell a story to the kids when we spoke about John 21, and I would say, "So I die and I get to heaven. And when I walk in there, I look at this and I'm thinking, John, when you wrote Revelation, you had no idea. I understand why you used images because, oh, moly, look at this. This is just something else. Oh, my. Well, there's God. Oh, Jesus. Hi, Jesus." Then I stand there before my Father and my Lord Jesus. My Father says, "Hello, Aubrey." "Hi, Father. Good to see you, buddy. You know this guy, do you?" "Oh, Father, I know him. He gave me a run for my money. Boy, did I have to go pick him up out of the mud often. That I have to help him, set him back on the right road quite often. But yes, Father, he's one of our children. And I love him, Father." And Father God looks at me and he says, "I love you too, bud. Come on in. This is for you." And I remember my good brother David writing in the 23rd Psalm. And I can say, "And I can dwell in the house of my Lord forever, a place where I'm loved, where I'm known, where I'm forgiven, where I am welcome, and above all, where I am loved unconditionally." That's who you are. And nothing in this world, even your messes, can change that. Well, you take that burden off and live that every day. Number two. But when God says we are his children, he also reminds us that we live with him and that he's guiding us like a parent. And that when we live in this world, we do not live without boundaries. Because in this world, we will often hear those words, "You do you. Everything is okay. Everyone decides what's good, and what they decide is good. That is good." Not true. When we live as God's children, there are boundaries. Like in, sorry, Alejandro and Catherine, can I use you as an example again? As they grow up, and since they grew up, you set boundaries. Why do we set boundaries? Because we don't like our kids, or because we love them? Because as we set the boundaries for them, They are kept safe, and they know they are safe, and they know that they are cared for. And so our Father says, there are boundaries. Don't just think that you run over them. Listen to verse 3:4 again. And all who have this eager expectation that we will see Jesus, keep themselves pure as He is pure. Just an interesting word. Remember last week when we used the word purify, I gave you a Greek word, katharizo, that catharsis. This pure is a different pure. In this one, he uses the word hagios, which means holy. So, keep themselves holy just as He is holy. For everyone who sins is breaking God's law, lives outside of the boundaries. And when we live outside of the boundaries, it is called lawless. Do not let the world fool you. Walk within those wonderful boundaries that God has set for you. Don't just hear the whatever is true for you is true for you. Whatever is true for me is true for me. And I can just do what I want. Because that's the pervasive message of the culture and the world we live in. We hear that in politics. We hear that in the education. We hear that over the social media. It's okay. Anything goes. Everything is okay. No. No. They tried that way back when. Book of Judges, chapter 21, last verse, verse 25. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was good in their own eyes. And do you know what happened? Can I take you back to the beginning of the book of Judges, chapter 3? It says, and I preached a sermon for you on that, the three chairs, when I put them out here on the stage. Remember what it says. In the days of Joshua, they knew the Lord. They knew about the things that the Lord did, and they loved the Lord. And then came a generation after that, and they knew about the Lord and about the things that the Lord did. They did not love the Lord. And then came a third generation, the Joshua generation, who did what was good in their own eyes. And Joshua said, and they did not know the Lord. When we do what is good in our own eyes and throw away all of those boundaries, there is nothing left. God gives them. Imagine what would happen if 8 billion people all did what was good in their own eyes. How would this world look like? Actually, it would look like our world looks like right now. Instead of love and compassion and care and grace, what do we find? Violence, intolerance, chaos, war, hurt, suffering. Because everyone is doing what is good in everyone's eyes. Where are the leaders that we need? We don't have them anymore. Because it's okay. You do you. No, says God. If we have this expectation that we are His children and we belong to Him, we will be holy, set aside, set apart to live how God wants us to live. We will live within the boundaries and draw within the lines and not just run out because that's what the world says we should do. This is what we do. This is what we do. This is the way, the truth, and the life that will lead us and guide us and be that lamp on our path. This is what we do, not the you do you, because the world says you do you. We do God, because He loves me so much that He said, you little buddy who's so messed up, I love you. Come be my child so I can walk with you and guide you and teach you. And what will happen in this world, they will pull you because that deceiver, that influencer will try and get you. But here's the amazing news. You're not alone in this. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of truth is in you. And when you have to walk in this world, there's your power. Because in your own strength, you cannot do this. But if you allow Him to take it over, whatever you do, wherever you walk, whatever you say, if you allow that, this influencer can try his best. He's not going to make it, because here's the thing. Verse 8, John says, he was taken care of. I always like, you know, my old little dad joke. The devil has been defeated and disarmed. He has no feet and he has no arms. He's a slithering snake. That's what he is. He's been taken care of. He can't get you, because you have someone who is way stronger than him, who opened his arms and took care of him, and then opened his arms and takes care of you, because he loves you. So what's your identity? Where do you find that? Verse 1. See how much the Father loves us. He calls us his children. That is what we are. You want a little practical thing for the week? Just to end? So on your cell phone, and I don't have mine with me, I don't like the thing in any case, there's a little thing that you can click and it will say how many hours you spent on your phone. I love to see mine go down. I try and get it down to close to zero. If you look at that, and let's say you spend 2 hours a day according to yours, or 4 hours a day, take half of that and then start spending that in the Word. So instead of scrolling, scroll. Just go read. Take John. Just read through John. Take that extra hour or 2 hours that you spent extra. And instead of doing that, go do this. You can use your phone for this. There's an app. It's called Bible Gateway. You click on that and you can read it in any translation that you want. So if you still need to hold that thing in your hand, that's cool that you can do this. Because this is life. This will influence you for sure, to remind you of your real identity. And if you have a little extra when that's done, just spend a little time with your Father. Just talk to Him. He so loves doing that. He so enjoys that. Last week, we did a wedding for Peter and Sam's daughter, and I had the privilege to sit. I haven't met Peter's youngest son yet, and he and his girlfriend sat there opposite me. And they're young folks, and it was the joy of my life to hear about their lives and just talk to them. Just imagine how much more your Father in heaven enjoys when, Allison, you just sit down and say, Lord, it's been a tough day at school. Those kids drove me nuts. Can I just spend a little time with you and just because He wants to hear that. Because you're His child. He loves you. Take the burdens, give them to Him, and then start living lightly and freely. Because that's what He invites you to. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Lord, thank you for lavishing your love on us. What a beautiful word. Just giving it so freely. And then calling us your children. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for knowing me with all my warts and all, and still loving. Teach us to love you in the same way, unconditionally. Remind us again how much you long for us to just be in your presence and sit with you and just speak our hearts. Help us to live pure, Lord, as you are pure. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for you are the Holy One that teaches us to live that way. Thank you that we can learn from you the unforced rhythms of grace. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going